What a wonderful thought that Jesus loves me, that Jesus can forgive even me, that Jesus can save me. Amen. Welcome this morning to all of you, to especially our visitors. We're delighted that you are here. We welcome you with us. We are glad that you are here. If there is anything that we can do that we have not had the opportunity to do in benefit and service to you, especially in a spiritual kind of way, please bring that to someone's attention even before you leave this morning. But again, we are so glad that you are here. Appreciated Travis, who led us in song as we exalted the name of Jesus. And to see again and be reminded just what debt we owe that we cannot repay in regards to His matchless love and the grace of God that has been manifested through the gift of Jesus Christ, our Lamb and our Savior. I tell you, if you were like me when you walked in this morning and you saw the bulletin boards, we appreciate the Standards and the Jenkins for the work that they've done, the new work on the bulletin boards. I did not know that H.E. and Jason had that kind of coordination in them. I did not know that. I think it was probably Mona and Karma. But it looks really nice. And appreciated their work. I'm beginning a series this morning, and will continue for the next several weeks on Sunday morning, entitled Homewreckers. These are sins that will ruin relationships in our homes. I am going to take a different approach. And the approach that I'm taking in this series is I'm going to be dealing with specific sins. We're going to intentionally target sins that I think are the root cause or causes of various problems that come into all family relationships. We begin in this series this morning discussing the sin of pride. We will move and shift directions in the next coming weeks as we look at the sin of envy, as we look at the sin of anger, as we look at the sin of lust, and as we look at the sin of greed. I will tell you something that's common in regards to all of these sins. They stand in contrast to the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, which is love, joy, and peace, and patience, and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. We need to talk about these sins because, as I said to you, and as you'll see as we go through this series, and some of us already appreciate this fact because we are currently and have in the past and will continue to deal with these sins in ourselves. They will absolutely wreck a home because it fragments the unity and the harmony that God wants to exist between the husband and the wife, between the parents and the child or the children in that relationship. Maybe you are here and you're saying, well, I'm not married yet, but still you will deal with these sins. Maybe you are here and you're newly married and you said, well, we haven't really had to deal with these yet. Well, maybe not. You're the exception perhaps to the rule. But you will at some point face these challenges. And some who have lost a mate, and those who are one in the home still, this will benefit you because we're dealing with sins that affect relationships that God wants to exist among His people. I will tell you something about pride. The pride that we find in Scripture, the pride that we're talking about, it's never spoken of in a good way. You will never see this in the Old and the New Testament spoken of in a good way. Proverbs chapter 6, 17 and 18. There are six things the Lord hates. Seven things are an abomination. And the beginning in that list is a proud look. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth, the Lord says, I hate. Proverbs 16 and verse 5, everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 11 and verse 2, when pride comes, then comes shame. 13 and verse 10, with pride comes nothing but strife. 16 and 18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Haven't we heard that often enough? Proverbs 29 and 23, A man's pride will bring him low. Shift into the New Testament in James 4 and verse 6, 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. God resists a proud person. He gives grace, favor to those who are humble. And all of those passages tell us that because the Lord hates pride, I must hate pride. I must hate pride in myself. I must have a holy hatred for pride as I see it in others. With pride comes destruction. Expect to fall. With pride, it generates strife in relationships. It's very destructive. It's very damaging. And that's what all of these passages are designed to tell us. But pride is not an easy sin to see in ourselves. I appreciate Brother Patrick in his prayer this morning in regards to calling upon the Lord and asking the Lord to help us see in ourselves those things that we need to see in ourselves that will better ourselves and be a benefit to others. We know that's the Lord's will. Do I really possess a heart this morning as I come to this message that says, okay, Lord, if one of my problems is pride, then I want to see that this morning. I want your word to show me that this is an area that I have to work on. And I'll tell you something about how pride works. I can be talking about pride and be proud. I can be preaching to you about all of these sins in the home that will wreck the home and not ever preach to myself. And perhaps you could be sitting there, and this is how pride works. You could be sitting there saying, I am sure glad he's starting out this new year talking about all of these sins that make messes in our homes. And I'm sure glad my mate's sitting right next to me because they sure do need this. That's how pride works. I sure hope my kid somewhere in the audience is hearing what he's saying because we had a struggle this morning on the way to the building. But that's how pride works. We think everybody else needs help rather than us needing help. And everybody else is the problem rather than perhaps I'm a problem or part of the problem. Pride's not an easy sin to see in ourselves, but we must. How does pride manifest itself? Let's talk about a few of those things even this morning. I'll tell you something about proud people. Proud people have a wrong view of themselves, a very unhealthy view of themselves, an over-high opinion of themselves. And so that brings conceit, it brings arrogance. There's the haughty look that the wise man speaks about. And as a result, let's get very practical in this. As a result of having a wrong view of myself, I can tell you some of the ways in which that manifests itself. I begin to think that my time is more valuable than anybody else's time. And then I begin to think that my way is better than anybody else's way. Because as a result of a wrong view of self, I begin to see myself as so superior, so intellectually superior to others, so spiritually superior to others. Proud people think that their work and their contribution, and since we're talking about specifically the home, proud people begin to think that their contribution to the family and their work in that home is better and more important than anyone else's. Guys, have we ever said, I'm the breadwinner after all, I have a job? Please don't say that to your wife who's a homemaker, who has as much skill, if not more skill, to go in the world and get a job, but she's at home taking care of the children and managing the house. Sometimes, men, we think that what we do and our contribution to the family is far superior to anybody else's contribution. Proverbs 26 and verse 12. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? Proverbs 26 and verse 12. There is more hope for a fool than for him. There is more hope for a fool than for the person who is wise in his own eyes. Here's the person who sees himself or herself as perfect, needing no correction, needing no help. They always get it right. They always do it right. And the wise man said, there's more hope. You've got a better chance with a fool than you do with that kind of person. That's how serious it is. Proud people become self-righteous because of a wrong view of themselves and extremely critical of other people. I'll tell you something about pride in the home. Pride turns us into professional fault finders. Pride turns us into professional fault finders. We always have a keen eye for everybody else's mess ups and everybody else's mistakes, but we don't see our own. Or perhaps because we don't think we ever make any. And because of a wrong view of self, sometimes we don't even see that we do this continually. And so I'll give his credit. Sometimes I find myself tearing other people down, and I'll tell you something about tearing other people down. When you constantly tear other people down, you are wearing them down. And they begin to think, he must, she must think that I can never do it right or do it well or good enough to suit their satisfaction. So why even try? Professional fault finders absolutely destroy relationships. Now, I'm not saying ignore the faults in others, but I am saying be honest enough to see the fault first in self and deal with self before you become so hypercritical and judgmental of others. One of the dangers with pride is that proud people really, they don't recognize any standard above themselves. That's really at the heart of pride. It's the attitude that nobody tell me what to do. There's not a supreme, all-wise God who in His Word, who has revealed His mind to me, there's nobody that's going to tell me how to think, how to live. I don't answer to anyone. I tell you that. Proud people just, they develop a very keen view to where they're the center of their universe. They do what they want to do. They live how they want to live. And the problem is declared for us in Psalm 10 and verse 4. In Psalm 10 and verse 4, the wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. God is in none of his thoughts. This person says, I don't answer to anybody. And so I surely don't answer to you. The Lord said of Babylon in Isaiah 47 and verse 10 through the prophet Isaiah, Babylon, speaking of Babylon, your wisdom and your knowledge have warped you. Babylon, it's your wisdom, your knowledge, your perception of yourself. It has warped you. And so you have said, Babylon, in your heart, I am and there is no one else besides me. And I'll tell you what God did. He brought Babylon down. Pride goes before what? Destruction. Proud people refuse to answer to anybody but themselves. I've told you it's such an easy sin to see in ourselves. Proud people are easily deceived. They trust in resources that they really don't have. They trust in strength and power that they really, at that time, don't possess. Two obvious examples of that are Edom. The prophet was speaking of Edom in Obadiah 1 and verse 3, and he says, the pride of your heart has deceived you. Edom said, who will bring us down to the ground? Because of her location geographically, Edom began to convince herself that she was situated geographically in such a way that they were not defeatable. They were untouchable. Edom trusted in power and strength that Edom did not have. And Edom was brought down. God, through the prophet Hosea to Israel. In Hosea chapter 7, verses 8, 9, and 10, says, Ephraim mixes with the nations. Foreigners sap her strength. She doesn't realize it. Her hair is sprinkled with gold, with gray, but she doesn't see it. Now listen to this. Israel's arrogance testifies against him. What's God saying through Hosea about Israel? The same thing he would say to us in principle to spiritual Israel. Ephraim, Israel, was getting weaker and weaker, more vulnerable and more vulnerable. And all the while, in her pride, she did not realize her true condition. We're easily, so easily deceived because of pride. Make some applications here. Fathers, as the leaders in our homes, have we ever been deceived in regards to not only our own condition, but have we been perceived in regards to the spiritual condition of those in our family, those souls that God has placed under our charge? Have we said about our homes, everything's fine? The relationship between myself and my wife, it's good. The relationship that I have between myself and my children, it's mutual trust and respect. They listen, they follow, they obey, they're easily persuaded. We just have this strong relationship. When, in fact, in reality, we do not. When, in fact, in reality, our families are not getting stronger spiritually, they're getting weaker spiritually. And in large measure, because we haven't been the leader in the home that God would have us to be. All of us at times have deceived ourselves. Maybe you have said, as I have said before, I don't have a spending problem. And you had a spending problem. Guys, maybe sometimes we say, listen, I'm not addicted to pornography. I just glance at it every now and then. Wives, maybe sometimes, women, maybe sometimes in pride, we say, you know, marriage counseling is overrated. We don't need to get some professional help. What pride does is pride blinds us, as it did with Edom and Ephraim. It blinds us to reality. And we don't see how truly vulnerable we have become before the devil and his devices. I'll tell you something else about pride. It's what the wise man said in Proverbs 13 and verse 10. By pride comes nothing but strife. I'll tell you, pride is a major cause of strife and division. Because, as I said, it stands in stark contrast to love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love is not arrogant. Love is not proud. Why does pride produce such strife? How is it? that pride in our homes generates so much strife? I'll tell you one of the reasons. Because proud people, in my pride, I have to be right all the time. So when confrontation comes in the home, and it will, when confrontation that demands proper and loving, effective communication, when that comes between husband and wife, if you got one or both filled with pride, you can expect continual strife because the proud person is more interested in winning an argument than repairing a relationship. I have to win. I will win. And let me add about pride winning an argument. It keeps the argument going. Oh, you may take a break for a few hours, but in your pride, you will be thinking all the while of how to build the case to win the argument. And the next time you get together, you won't think about, is this the best time and the best place to continue the discussion, which has now escalated to a shouting match. All you're interested in is winning the fight. Here's the greater problem. The devil wants to convince you that the situation only involves you and your mate. Not true. Everyone else within hearing distance and everyone else who can see the argument, they get hurt too. That's why it is so critical that we deal with pride, because I'm sad to say that my kids have had to see and hear things that they did not need to see and hear when I tried to win an argument. That's not fair to them to have to process. Why is Dad upset with Mom? Why is Mom upset with Dad? That's not fair. And I've known too many, quote, Christian homes where the children in that home grew up continually seeing and hearing the shouting matches because one or both in the fight was too proud to humble themselves and seek resolution. Proud people have to be right all the time. Why is that? Just to be honest about it, because we're bullheaded, unwilling to yield, makes us stubborn and uncooperative, not willing to seek peaceful resolutions. And people who get to that point, that start digging in their heels, it's like trying to drive your car with a parking brake on. You're either going to burn up or burn out. James says in James chapter 3, 16 and 17, where envy and self-seeking exist, that is, proud people who are self-seeking, he said, you can expect disorder in every evil practice. And so James says in that context, but listen, to contrast that, let's think about the wisdom that is from above. And he says of that wisdom that's from above, yes, while it's first pure, then it's peaceable. But what he says about that wisdom being pure and peaceable, hear me please, is it's willing to yield. There is a reason why the New Testament, when it speaks about elders, those men who will be in positions to shepherd a flock, to nurture and feed, That's why the New Testament tells us these cannot be men who are filled with pride. Humility is an essential in leadership. I tell you, I have questions about Satan and his fall. But perhaps Satan's idea of things was that he would rather reign in hell than serve in heaven. And I'm afraid that same mentality finds its way in our homes. And proud people continually produce strife and division because proud people find it very difficult to apologize sincerely. To say, I'm sorry. To say, I was wrong. And rather than apologizing sincerely and accepting the responsibility for a situation, they offer lame excuses that only generate further strife and discord. We're going to finish this tonight. One final point. We'll develop this. Proud people cannot become selfless servants. So what's the remedy? I'm going to give you the short version of the remedy, and we'll talk more tonight about how pride manifests itself. If pride is a wrong view of self and a wrong view of God, then the remedy for pride is a right view of self and a right view of God. See God for who He truly is. I don't think it's any coincidence that Jesus, in His Sermon on the Mount, when He's going to talk about the character of kingdom citizens, I don't think it's any accident that Jesus starts out when He's going to begin addressing the character of kingdom citizens, and He says, blessed are the pure in heart. We need a right view of ourselves. And when we see pride for its destructive nature, for the sin that it is, for the separation that it brings with God and with others, we're willing to confess. We're willing to truly repent. And we're willing to shift and change and reverse the direction of our boasting. Let him who boasts boast in the Lord, 2 Corinthians 10:17. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world was crucified to me and I to the world, Galatians 6 and verse 14. And it keeps us humble and it brings us back to reality. Because James tells us in James chapter 4 and in verse 6 that God resists a proud person. You have set yourself, I have set myself because of pride in direct opposition to God. And I have cut off myself from favor with God. God does grace to the humble. Maybe you're here this morning. Will you humble yourself and acknowledge if you are here and you are not right with God? Humble yourself this morning. Maybe for you it begins by acknowledging your faith in Jesus Christ. Coming to Jesus, the Lamb of God, for salvation, for pardon, for forgiveness of your sins. To put Jesus on in baptism, to be immersed in water so that you might be cleansed of your sins by and through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you. And we encourage you to let Jesus rule and reign in your heart. And express your love and devotion and allegiance to Him and come obedient before Him and humble yourself and be saved of your sins and added by God to His saved people. But maybe you're here this morning and as a Christian you have seen pride in yourself Will you humble yourself and acknowledge that? Acknowledge that before your Heavenly Father, perhaps in the quietude, in a quiet place, before your mate or before your children, or children to your parents. Humble yourself and acknowledge that sin. Or maybe if you're a part of this local family and your pride has manifested itself in various ways that have been public, or perhaps you just desire help from family who loves you and wants to help you in your fight to do right. And we can hold up your hands and we can petition God's throne for grace and for mercy and for help for you and for others. If we can do that for you this morning, come, let us know while we stand and while we sing.